saw players who spent all their free time making characters they'll never play.
I swear on my life you've done that one so many fucking times.
I have not.
Anyways, sorry, we just had a conversation about this, and DMs who are in the middle of writing 4 different campaigns and have no idea when they'll have time to play literally any
of them. I swear to God, you've done that one.
Nah, I've never said writing specifically.
Oh, but you've definitely done, like,
I've done the character thing. I've done the character thing. That's crazy. You can't try to call me on that and then immediately do it.
I'm Maddie.
I'm Robert.
What are we doing today, Robert?
We are...
Long time no see, by the way. No, listen. Fuck.
You can't tell that it's been 2 months since we've sat down and recorded an episode, let alone put one out. It has been, and this episode is all about why that's been and kind of where the podcast is going from here, since we haven't touched it in forever.
We are victims of the... hey, let's start a podcast culture.
Fully. Yeah, well, we can do that.
Well, yeah, and we're two
Everybody has a conversation.
Yeah, and we're so good at conversations.
Clearly.
We both have ADHD, as we've mentioned several times on this podcast. And,
so many times.
Between the midst of graduating, and then I moved back home for the summer before I come back to Evansville for another year. I don't even know, I guess spend time with friends,
be here,
work on the podcast. Legitimately, that's part of my reasoning.
Yeah.
This is not the end of Table Talk, in the slightest. This is, we thought we would be able to record like 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And then
so
release
many.
Them over the summer. When I was up in town for like a series of 3 to 4 days and
yeah, we were like, oh yeah, we'll do them all.
And we certainly tried. So we'll tell you what has happened. One, we're both college graduates.
Certainly try.
Officially have degrees, which is pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
The other fun one is we attempted to record several episodes for you all to listen to.
Oh God, I'm not going to pull it up because that's just going to hurt my soul to look at how many things I'd never edited.
I believe it's close to 8 hours.
Oh, it's a ridiculous amount of content. I don't want to say put out because we definitely did not.
We did not.
That's the whole point of this episode. We recorded several episodes. It's unfortunate because one of them was with a first-time guest and also a player at our table, but none of us were super happy with the way it went. It was a cool idea and concept, and then it
very quickly fell apart in a way where it was not very fun to listen to.
It would have required so much editing for it to be like an enjoyable listen, and by the time that we got it to that point, it would have been like 20 minutes of conversation tops.
Yeah.
It was the whole thing was like, what if we do combat against each other and then also just had a conversation about D&D.
Yeah, like most, like the theme was like PvP, and what better way to do PvP than have some PvP? But then also the encounter very quickly turned into like we were not fighting each other at all.
No.
We were all fighting a common enemy, so it wasn't PvP. And then we were also like not doing any role play, so it just kind of sounded
like
people
playing. It was too difficult to like switch in and out of like having conversation as regular people and then also popping into an encounter that was truly just all over the place.
So it didn't feel right. Neither of us were super happy with it, so we didn't want to put out like subpar content.
Yeah, it's like, what's the point, you know?
Yeah, and then the other one that we recorded.
Yeah. Then we did part two. No,
we tried.
Right. Yeah. We recorded part two. We put out part one of the Point Pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
The second Point Pleasant one-shot.
Yeah, the second half.
Yeah. Well, this is the second one that we've ever done on the podcast, right? Because we've done an actual play before that as well.
Yeah, we did the...
Yeah, see? It disappears.
No, I know what it is. I'm trying to... The episode is called Tiresome Behavior.
Yeah, it was the boardwalk stuff.
That's not even what I was talking about. I thought you were talking about... Never mind.
Right, but we did one before this.
Yeah. So we did the boardwalk one, and this was going to be like the adventure half of it. And
oh my God, that is totally the same fucking episode.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That is the same episode.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh my God, that feels like two wholly different one-shots. Part of the mix-up is that we've now started doing one-shots about every weekend, as many weekends as we can fit in, just to kind of mix things up. We've done many. I was DMing pretty much straight. At one point, I was doing a lot for two different campaigns, one that I was running and the one that I wasn't, and it was just like I'm burnt the fuck out. Somebody else, please step in. What if we started doing one shots?
Yeah.
To give people, like, to give other people, you know, the chance to DM, to mostly DM me. Again, to get experience playing different characters and to jump around and try new systems. Mm-hmm. And two of the things that we've done so far is in the Point Pleasant world. And that's, it's all mixed up now.
So there's two different timelines going on where we have Point Pleasant on the podcast, and then we also have At Our Table, which hopefully, I'm not going to spoil anything. We'll touch on some things that
don't
are coming
make promises
up later.
We can't
later.
Keep
I, that's what I said. I'm not going to.
People who are unreliable.
I wasn't going
I love you all to death.
I wasn't going to say that.
Y'all have the most fucky wucky schedules I've ever encountered in my life.
He's not talking about all of our listeners, by the way. He's talking to the people we play with.
Why would I? Yeah, y'all schedule is so bad that clearly you still find time to listen to the podcast. Like,
stop
what?
Making fun of our listeners. You do.
I'm
this
not
every
making fun
episode.
Of them. I'm saying, why would I make fun of them?
Okay.
I'm not gonna make fun of them.
Okay. We appreciate you a
y'all
lot.
Y'all are cool people.
yeah, y'all are sick as fuck. So we tried to record the second half of Welcome to Point Pleasant.
Yeah.
And I quickly learned, because I had run like a kind of a test encounter in Point Pleasant with multiple players using similar mechanics to what I wanted to use on the podcast, just to make sure that this is me pulling back the curtain a little bit and being completely honest with you all. Mm-hmm. I didn't want my first time like running an adventure hook to go awful. Because I haven't had to do that before. Everything I've done has just been very roleplay focused. So it worked great with a table of what, 5 people?
Yeah.
It was going super well. We get in the studio to record the second half of this, and Robert, I quickly realize this chase sequence does not work with one person.
No.
So breezes through the first half of the encounter and ends up, and once again, I'm going to be completely honest with the listeners here, killed the monster.
Yeah, episode scrapped anyways. That's just bad as fuck.
Killed the monster on the first swing, and this isn't even a combat-oriented system. So I'm like, cool, now I'm down a monster because I'm being honest to the rules, because that's what this whole thing is about, is being transparent. I'm learning along with like everyone listening. And then I'm not going to delve into the details of what happens because I'm not going to spoil anything, and who knows if it'll happen again. But there was a question that was asked to Tony that was like a throwaway question. And Robert real life spiraled for about 45 minutes. And I got to a point where I was like, hey, I love you as a person. I love you as a player. As a co-host and producer of Table Talk,
not good content.
We cannot release this. It's just
it
not
was bad.
It's
it was
not listenable.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I think we might have talked about it in one of the episodes that we have out already, but yeah, I mean, it was me spiraling for 45 minutes.
It was rough.
Yeah, it's just, it's one of those things where, like, I don't, for those that are listening, like, if you have ADHD or if you struggle with, like, FOMO, fear of missing out, or, like, indecision because there's too many options, Tony is very much, like, if you've listened to the Point Pleasant part one, again, which is insane that it's all
which
the same thing.
Which is one of our most downloaded episodes, so thank you all so much.
Yeah, but if you've listened to it, you kind of understand that, like, part of who Tony is he's socially aware to a fault. Like, his number one priority and, like, ability, strength, weakness, it's all kind of wrapped into, like, social politics. And I got really, really into Tony's headspace.
A little too into.
Yeah. It was like, is this what method acting is like? Because it was bad, man.
It was rough. It was...
There
were things that were said that I was already like, if we release this, I'm going to have to edit these phrases out because it sounds bad.
Yeah, I basically deadlocked myself into what do I do? What decision do I make? How much information can I get? I really don't want to make a choice right now because I feel like something bad's going to happen. And it just kept going and kept going and kept going. And then eventually it was like, it wasn't even that bad.
Yeah. And it was.
Wasn't even that bad.
Exactly what it sounded like.
Yeah. It was verbatim exactly what it was set up to be, and I psyched myself out thinking that this character was like way more like against me, and also thinking about like more fucked up things to do than just the really basic petty high school thing.
Yeah,
yeah. I was like, we were in two different.
It was like
two different games.
Very obvious. Like, it was a very straightforward situation.
Yeah.
And then Tony's headspace led Robert to assuming this character was trying to commit actual crimes, like literal crimes.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, it's not like that. But it was just between the monster being dead and then
the monster getting killed immediately.
It was supposed to take maybe 5 to 10 minutes, ended up just spiraling out, and neither of us were in a good headspace. And it was to the point where, like, we ended the episode and, like, it was a victory for them. They did a good job. They did what they were supposed to.
It was a success.
But it sound like listening to it, it was bad. It was like no one said, like... Tony sounded so defeated, and as the only like poor player in that, I was like,
I was so as a person, as a player, as Tony, I just at the end of that really fucking long line, I was like, you know what, I'm here.
That was an episode that we recorded, and then we went back to the house and both went to our rooms and did not see each other until dinner time because we were just like, we need to.
It was exhausting.
I took a nap.
It was such an exhausting episode.
It was bad.
But anyways, so
we
we're going to get
release that.
Yeah, it's not going to get put out because why would it? It was just mistake after mistake after mistake. And yeah, yeah, doesn't need to come out. So anyways, that kind of...
There will be a part two.
That threw a hitch in things. The guest episode not being where we want it to be also kind of threw a wrench into some shit. And then her going home, me not wanting to spend the time to figure out how to fucking Zoom somebody in, also her working a full-time job, like, it's just, there was, you know, any number of different things. Again, like she said at the top of the episode, we fell victim to the, we can do a podcast, and then we graduated college.
Podcasts are so easy when you live with the person who you're doing a podcast with.
And you live across the street from the space that you're recording in.
And then you remove one of those things, and it's like, oh, this is
hard.
This is really
hard.
How
do people
do
this?
And we're both working borderline full-time jobs, and
yep,
things were a lot. But we've had some very positive things happen. Outside of all the negative, we talked about our one shots. I think that's
all the positive things that have happened have been fully removed from the podcast.
Yeah. But
we have more listeners. We have more listeners and downloads.
Yeah,
so like, that's cool.
Awesome.
Thanks.
We've done some really cool stuff outside of the podcast that we're hopefully going to be able to bring you all in the upcoming season. I'm trying to decide if we just want to do our like. This is once again ADHD. I'm like, do we shoot the shit now and just talk and then talk about what the next season is going to look like or and, like save that?
I think it's kind of whatever. Truly, I mean. Everything that's happened outside of the majority of what's happened outside of the podcast has just been kind of a lot of different one shots. Mm-hmm.
We did the Last of Us one shot that we talked about on the
podcast. Yeah, that we talked about with the system and then creating the hits and all that fun stuff. We
How
did
about
that.
You talk about your experience with that?
Yeah. it was, it sounds like it was a hit from everybody I talked to. It just, as a DM, it was, it's difficult to like accept that I'm, like, everybody thinks of me as a very, like, hard DM, and I like my serious consequences, and, like, fucked up things can happen, because oftentimes I like to play that way, and then I got to The Last of Us, and then a player made the decision that a character was ready to die, and I was like, but what if you didn't? You know, like, what if you didn't? Because I've never actually, well, no, that's a lie. I have killed off. I've killed off two characters.
Yeah, you've killed off several.
I killed off two characters in the same, the same session. Man, that's different. I don't know.
It was
different. It was very different. This was a system that I think I was a little bit more attached to than the original one. So it was part of it too. Was like, I don't know. We were right in the fucking middle of a session, and I didn't want to let him die. But I also prefaced the session with, "You could die. You could die in 30 seconds," and then we did everything within my power to keep somebody alive.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it was a lot of fun running a different system that, like, I don't know, was very different, very unique. A lot of the mechanics were very original to the stuff that I had written, and the plot was also kind of fun because it's easier.
The plot was very fun.
It's easier to write like real world, like post-op stuff or superhero stuff or things that are like real world adjacent as opposed to fantasy, mostly because there's so many different things that can be done in fantasy. Yeah.
It's like those worlds are more tangible because there are world adjacent. Fantasy is like most of the time you're doing an entirely different like ruling class. So it's like, what does a society look like if you don't even have the basic governmental functions?
Mm-hmm. Or you don't have the whole system
like
written
ours.
Out or it's a lot. And I think that's part of the reason why I enjoy doing non-fantasy as much as I do. Cause it's just easier to write for, in my opinion. There's less road that has been, walked You know, there's less modules to look at. There's less books to have to buy. Or
it's easier to think on your feet.
It is, especially when you have, like, when you feel like you have more control over the world because nobody has done it before or very few people have done it before. And Last of Us was, I think, a very fun experience for everybody.
Yeah.
Mostly because I think for that particular one shot, I think that's when people started getting really good at, like, becoming their characters and stepping out of who they were, like, in other campaigns or just playing themselves. And I think it just kind of got better from there and the other one shots that we did. So,
speaking of jumping out and branching into new characters, we also did another Camp Half-Blood one.
Yeah.
I also am going to take this moment to preface and say we've branched into what we call co-DMing a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is a combination of like what the conversations that we have on the podcast and then me still trying to get the hang of like. And branching into adventure and like combat for the first time, and I don't like mechanics.
Yeah,
and also,
mechanic heavy sections, and
it's nice to be able to talk to someone and like plan out what you want to do. But we've co-DM'd at this point several
one
shots, which was really cool.
Several times.
So the Camp Half-Blood one was one of my favorites because it was one where I was in town one day and we had a little bit of time left, and we were having lunch, and everyone was like. Yeah, when are we going to do that? I said, I can do it tonight, I guess. And we sat down, and we spent about 3-4 hours planning it. And then...
You spent a lot of time just, like, setting up the characters and...
And then we went downstairs, and we played it that day. It felt like a 24-hour play festival where you, like, write and stage and all that in one day. That's also kind of how The Last of Us felt.
It was all kind of done over the course of a day, where it's like...
Yeah.
Here's a brand new system. Here's a new character sheet you've never seen. Here, like, and then it's just rapid fire working people through their characters. It's a lot of fun, like, doing it. It's exhausting, but it's also a lot of fun to kind of see it all come together within, like, a full day.
Yeah. It feels, there's a lot of, like, satisfaction after, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think as someone who's DM'd and played in both of those situations, you feel like you have an accomplishment under your belt.
Mm-hmm.
From the DMing side, because you're like, yeah, look what I pulled together and bullshitted in a small amount of time. The one I would call co-DMing the most was we did a birthday one shot. That's what I requested for my birthday. Was playing D&D with my friends. So we did a fun little Point Pleasant one shot where I did the first half of it, and then we took a break. And then that afternoon, or that evening, I guess. Robert took over and did the second half, so I got to play Aster for the first time, which was very fun. And that one shot quickly went off the rails.
They always do.
Both in two different ways. From when I was DMing, it went off the rails socially. And then when you were DMing, it went off the rails from everything that these characters were. And also, how would you even describe how that went off the rails?
Yeah, I think... we have very, like, 5th edition rooted players. I've talked about this several times in previous episodes. The majority of the people at the table, we all started playing together, and we played in a very combat-heavy, like, first session or first campaign, and then even the second one that we played after that was also very much the same way. And we're all, not only say we're all, a lot of us, the majority of us, are very, like, combat-focused and mechanic-heavy and kind of rule-lawyer-y, and I think there's some enjoyment that several people at the table get out of, like, working out those systems during combat and finding the advantages and, I don't know, besting the DM and finding that fine print line that it's you can do it.
I love loopholes.
I think a lot of the people at our table are like that, and when we go from like some very heavy role-playing moments where the characters are very different than the players, once we get to the combat portion, some of them kind of forget how to stay in character
because
they just want to use the mechanics and have fun in the system, and they don't necessarily know how to do both at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, it's very hard for them to throw... or to take a dive for the sake of the character because they're just kind of having fun.
Yeah, it quickly turned into like a group of nerds who just started jumping a monster.
Several actually, not even one. There were three.
Which was crazy because like, and when I say nerds, I mean like this is a group of losers. If you're wondering why Tony is there, he does not want to be, and he makes it very clear.
Tony was not even there for the majority of... he wasn't there for any of the combat portion of it.
Yeah.
Or the, like, encounter.
Yeah. It was a really fun time, though. We both had a lot of fun throughout the experience.
Is it my portion of it was like Freddy Fazbear, like FNAF
Chunky Cheese
kind of style. Yeah.
It was Chunky Cheese. I'll talk about Chunky Cheese. It was Chunky Cheese is the rat mascot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other characters are Tanky the Turtle and Ranky the Roach.
Yep.
they sound so dumb saying out loud.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the idea, though. Like, they're kind of campy, shitty characters.
Yeah, but it was a lot of fun. So I feel like one of the takeaways that I have or suggestions that I have, if you're looking for, like, ways to grow yourself as a player, as a DM, as a table, do a fuck ton of one-shots.
Yeah, just, I mean, it's very much like the more you play, the better you get. I think that's true for a lot of things, though,
I
right?
mean, yeah.
Like, it's the more experience you have, the more times you've hit the ball. Like, it is very much an experience thing and, like, kind of rapid-firing one-shots, or at least letting other people DM things. Sometimes it's difficult to, like, manage multiple campaigns at the same time because there's just a lot of continuity to keep straight, and it's mm-hmm. a lot of work to, like, maintain those lines. But when it's just like, oh, it's going to be a one or two off,
yeah,
it's kind of like there's no pressure to it. You don't feel like you have to bring, like, your best every time. You're just kind of there to have fun.
Yeah.
And it's easier to, like, step out of your traditional headspace or traditional character and then kind of hop into something completely different.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, a wholly different system or a different world, or you don't really have to care about it because you're only going to be in that space for, like, 2-3 sessions.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where I think it's fun to do situations like that where you find a setting that you like. I think of a lot of the one-shots, especially when I do, like, Point Pleasant specifically, I think of them like episodes mm-hmm. of something. I think of it like a TV show where it's like, cool, it could end here and we could never play again and the story is fine, it's still contained, but you could also pick it up and do another episode, like very Monster of the Week, like,
mm-hmm.
Here's your adventure task this time, which I think is a lot of the way that people, and people run a lot of campaigns this way. We're a little bit different as a table where we do kind of like one big overarching story where it's hard to kind of like cut into pieces
mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't feel like you can't end on a beat and have it feel fulfilled. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that like having ones that you can pick up and worlds you can hop in and out of is really fun and another really helpful way to still make characters that are more than just a one surface level joke. For one shot, because that's always a really tempting choice to make. Is like, if I'm only playing this character once, yeah, I'm gonna play
a joke character,
Banjo McGee,
yeah.
who doesn't have hands and has guns instead. Like, it encourages, which there's nothing wrong with playing Banjo McGee. Go for it. But it encourages to like, I lost what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm so tired.
Yeah, I mean it. It truly, it's just,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's fun to be able to hop out and do different things and then also kind of take it serious. Like, all of the one-shots that we do are usually multiple sessions long, if we can fit that in. We all, I think, kind of enjoy the slightly longer narrative as opposed to just, like, a 1-4-5-hour offer.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's the setup beforehand and a session or two sessions before, like, the final one is a little bit more fulfilling, I think, for everybody. Because it's like, you spend a lot of time making the characters and then writing the story and building the relationships and figuring out the mechanics. And it's like, well, if I'm going to put in all this fucking work just to be able to sit down and play it, I'd like to get more than 4 hours out of it.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's the thing of, like, early in our kind of table-playing experiences, some of the one-shots we did were very, like, traditional one-shots. It was like you played for a day,
mm-hmm.
and then you never touch it again.
Yep.
And it's kind of also disheartening to, like, make a character that you actually really like, and then you play them for a couple hours, and then they never get touched again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, cool, well, I made a backstory and it doesn't matter.
Yep.
So that's why we prefer, like, our one shots come out to probably be in about 12 hours.
Yeah. No, I'd say, like, on average, probably close to that.
Just because we tend to play them.
Yeah. And we can play them long. We like the build up. We like the story points. We like the beats. We like exploring the characters. And people
have time blindness.
And people get attached to their characters very quickly, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's just, it's fun to fuck around. But yeah, we've done Last of Us. Two sessions of that. Or have we done one session of that? Was it just
three,
the one?
I thought.
I think it's only been two so far.
Maybe it's been two, because we did the first one, and we got two.
Yeah, I think it's, hell, it might have only been one, I don't fucking know.
No, it had to have been two. Because I
yeah, it was two. It's definitely not three, but it's two. Yeah.
Two.
Yeah, it's all blurring together.
We're
going
to die in the third one. Currently, where we were left is, we are fighting how many bloaters? Robert?
Three
bloaters.
Yeah, one got killed by a room falling.
We're down a party member. One of our party members is just fucked. The NPC.
Oh yeah.
He's a poor baby boy.
Yeah, it's all bad.
We're
all convinced that, like, oh, what's the point in doing a full third session? We're just gonna die at the top of it anyways.
One of our PCs is missing an arm. The sharpshooter is missing an arm.
Determined to go out on his own terms in the dumbest ways possible.
Yeah. My character has a permanent...
He's a kooky old man that just wants to blow himself up.
My character has a permanent level of exhaustion. Tell me I'm wrong.
It's not permanent.
It's damn near.
It's not permanent.
My character said, hey, you've been traumatized. You just killed your first infected for the first time.
She made a nice decision and stayed up and then immediately went into combat and then is now upset that she's very exhausted.
Because the day went by and then I gained another level of exhaustion and then I was like, finally, I get to sleep. And people were like, we'll take your watch. You can sleep the whole time.
Yep.
And I was like, great, that'll get rid of it. And then you went, no, it only removes one level of exhaustion.
Yeah.
So you have the entire rest of the encounter. And my character stats are so much better than anyone else's, and that's what makes me so mad. Is
really
the
good.
One leg up for my character is like I had ridiculously good. I just rolled really well for my stats, and I'm just eating shit.
I think it's a lot easier though. Like I don't feel as bad giving somebody exhaustion in Last of Us. Like it arguably sucks more because the system is a little bit less forgiving if you fuck up. But also, in no other world can I think, like, oh yeah, it makes sense that a person who stayed up, took two shifts, and then immediately went into combat, most definitely hit a giant dose of adrenaline, and then kept going, and then kept going some more. Like, of course that person's going to be exhausted.
Oh yeah, it
of course
makes...
they're going to suck at literally everything. You haven't slept in 24 hours, and adrenaline's wearing off in your system.
I get it. But also, as a player...
It almost feels better to give it to people in like a Last of Us kind of setting, because it's, you know, everybody wants to sleep, but sometimes you can't, and that fucking sucks. Whereas in in 5th edition, I'm like, I can't think of a single time where I've given somebody exhaustion.
I can, on the podcast, fetch.
Yeah, in 5th edition, like in straight up fantasy 5th edition.
Well, we don't play fantasy 5e.
In straight up fantasy 5th edition, I don't think I have ever given somebody a point of exhaustion.
There was one time where Z got some when he and I decided to go out on a night on the town.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like a fun mechanic thing, though.
Yeah. I didn't because
that's
I
not like,
a,
oh, I want you to have a harder time tomorrow because it's a hard system. That was like, y'all got fucked up.
Yeah. It was like, no, dude, you're hungover.
Yeah. Yeah, y'all got trashed. Yeah. You know? But, like, exhaustion is just a fucking, it's a silly-ass mechanic, and a lot of times
it's also crazy.
Just...
Can I complain about exhaustion for a second?
Because yeah,
why the
about
fuck
exhaustion.
Is the first level of exhaustion disadvantage on everything? That's crazy. And then to follow it up with the second level being half of your movement speed, why is that not the first level of exhaustion?
No, it is kind of crazy. Exhaustion is fucking bad shit. Yeah, disadvantage on ability checks. Followed by speed halved, then disadvantage on attack rolls and saving throws, then hit point maximum is halved, then your speed is reduced to zero, and then, of course, if you hit six, you die.
I think that it needs to be...
disadvantage on all ability checks
I think that needs to
nuts.
Be level two. I think, and I understand because that's going to encourage players to take more levels of exhaustion,
yeah.
But, like, why is reducing your speed not first?
Yeah,
why are we not easing people into it? Because disadvantage on all checks is...
It's brutal.
It's brutal.
Yeah. No, it is. It's very brutal, especially for people. Like, in 5th edition, at least in the way that we've always played, we recently had a conversation where, like, we're not telling you all how to play, like, traditional 5th edition, like, after watching a couple videos.
But we're teaching you how to play...
like, if you watch, like, anything of Critical Role or Fantasy High or any Dimension 20, like, any podcast out there or actual play where it's one of the people... They're fucking encyclopedias. Like, living, breathing encyclopedias.
This is, Robert watched a clip of Matt Mercer last night.
I've seen the clip before,
actually,
too. It's just, it kills me
where
every time.
He goes through, and he's shown a comic, and he comes up with all of the things that are incorrect.
20. 20 mistakes.
He found ones that the fact checker missed.
The fact checker in question was Brennan Lee Mulligan. He goes, yeah, he actually found something that I didn't originally account for. Huh?
And we're sitting there going, we are not allowed. There's an episode. If you go back and listen to the first season, there's an episode where Robert is confidently calling
Alex, right?
Matt Mercer, Alex Mercer, the entire episode.
Character from a game called Prototype.
And there's another time I listened to Critical Role. I listen to Critical Role. I don't watch Critical Role. And that's on me because I said something about like, oh yeah, Dimension 20 does better minis. I don't know if like Critical Role even does like minis. They do. I'm wrong. We
props.
We are.
We're not as nearly.
We have
as
the arrogance
as
of people in their early 20s.
Yeah, I mean, we've played for a couple of years and now we're like, yeah, we can do it.
Yeah.
We can do it really well. So like, we play very much our own version of the game.
Yeah.
You know, where we're not quite as rules steeped.
Yeah, this is definitely the D&D you play in the basement with your friends.
Well, that's exactly what we do.
That's
exactly
the point.
What we do.
That's the point. Yeah. It's
the one starter module and then it's all downhill from there.
Yeah. But yeah, arguing with the levels of exhaustion. Speed needs to be the first level.
Yeah, I agree. The disadvantage on exhaustion is what it is. But we've done two of Last of Us. We've done two of Point Pleasant. We've done two of Camp Half-Blood, right?
We did one prior. We only did one session of the second half. It was the second half of the Camp Half-Blood that we started forever
ago. It is basically two.
And then we have another Camp Half-Blood one coming up where we're going to do the 5e version. And it is going to be the most difficult.
Right.
Right.
New system, incredibly new system.
New system and a crazy amount of players. We're going to be playing with probably 8 players.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
Vanessa goes, yeah, I can do that.
Well.
I can do that. I can totally DM for 8 players.
Well.
Yeah, then you think about how many people that is. And it starts to become a little less more realistic.
Well, no, because I was like thinking of the people in my head, and then I said the number out loud when Robert was talking to me, because I was talking about like, oh yeah, this is like my plan.
She's like
and
listing
my
all the people that are going to be there. I'm like, cool. So 8.
And I went, what?
So 8 people. So you're DMing for 8 players at the same time. 3 of which will have played maximum 6 hours of D&D ever before this.
Yeah.
Like ever. Like, this will be their second full-time experience playing.
Yeah.
And their in a first system that's new to us, too, by the
will
way.
Will also be with me. And I will be doing that one solo, because Robert, I will be in another state.
The freshest, most inexperienced of DMs at the table. Straight into a system that we have not applied to this world.
I've never DM'd anything in 5e before.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's... Anyways, that conversation led to me going, hey, maybe you pass it off to me at some point. Because, like, you've, again, never done 5th edition before.
Yeah, so this is going to be another one of our patented... we need to, like, patent our fucking co-DMing, which is I tee up the ball, I set up the situations, I run people through some role play and some world building and some plot hooks. And then when it comes time to swing at things, I go, hey, Robert, you're up, buddy.
Yep.
And he takes over. And we have random NPCs / PCs that are then coming and going.
I didn't even think about, 8 players, not including the NPCs that are going to have to be there.
And here's another thing about our play style as a table, which might be, which is controversial to some. Generally, when one of us is DMing, there's an NPC, we have like a DM NPC.
Yeah, usually.
Like, and that's just something that, like, was not always the way our table played, but became that way by necessity through a fun little character in Sapphire City.
It's just...
And Capes and Crooks.
It's
and
easier then, that way.
It's easier.
You know?
I think it's more fun because I think
you get
that,
to play in it.
Yeah. And everyone at our table, because we're all very good friends, and I think the two of us like bits the most out of everyone, it gives everyone the opportunity to, like, interact with everyone in a comfortable way.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really nice, but also is kind of exhausting because, like, finding the balance between DMing and also playing a character at the same time
sucks. Not easy.
Which is, like, something I'm very much learning on the podcast. And I feel like it'd be so much easier in 5e because on Kids on Bikes, it's such an open world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, cool, if I'm playing Aster and then also DMing, I'm like, she's a smart girl. I don't know how to, like... I know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I can't have her make a check
because
there's no check to be made.
You know, it's hard to not play, like, it's hard to not metagame as the person that's also running the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's not insider information. It's lit. It's you are the creator, the arbiter, the writer, the executor of said information. And now you're also playing an NPC that, guess what, is also you and therefore knows the information.
Yeah.
So it's hard to be like, oh, they don't know.
I'll say it was definitely easier in that situation, bouncing between being an NPC and a PC during a when you're handing it off to someone else, because mm-hmm. like there are things that you can surprise people with. There was Aster had a surprise birthday party that was planned for her, and that was the part where Robert took over DMing and was like, surprise, like this happens and blah blah blah.
It's a party.
And that was something that I, as the DM, I didn't write that. I didn't know it was happening.
It's a party.
But I was the player at the time. So, like, yeah. There's things that you can do to, like, surprise each other or, like, kind of get into it. It's just, it's a weird line to toe.
Yeah.
And, like, nice. I know that some people, like, are very anti-DM NPCs, but.
Yeah, I think it's fun. I think I've gotten.
I think they're fun.
Yeah, I've gotten.
We say is
fairly good at it.
DMs.
Having done it for a very, very long time, so. It's, yeah, it's, you get to interact with your own world and play with your own mechanics.
And play with your friends that you don't always get to play with.
Yeah, and play with your friends. It's somebody that's been in the, it's the person that's been in the DM seat the longest so far. It's fun to have NPCs in certain campaigns that are, like, very much who I would be in the campaign or a character that I would have made, which is controversial because some of those characters, people swear on their lives are, like, terrible human beings. They're not. They just don't. I'm not even gonna. That's mean. That's mean.
Please don't.
No.
Please don't.
I'm not going to. You're all very intelligent people. It's just sometimes you make some interesting judgment calls. It's the thing where if you see somebody that walks in, like, if, I don't know, fantasy situation, man in a dark cloak walks in, sits down at the bar, doesn't talk to anybody. And the barbarian slides over and is like, hey, dog, what the fuck is up? And it's just like the nicest human. It's like it's that. But because that first impression has been made, now that barbarian is fucking locked in. There's nothing that you can. It's like if I kicked a puppy in front of my players, but that puppy was a demon, it doesn't matter. Even if they find out that information, they don't fucking care.
No, your nickname is now Puppy Kicker.
Mm-hmm. It does not matter how much evidence you provide them, that character is forever fucking evil.
My thing is, sometimes an NPC will kick a puppy.
Infuriating.
And other players, none of the other players except for one, will be present for it. And yet, that character's reputation will still be
mm-hmm.
Puppy Kicker for the rest of time, even if they never knew.
Yeah,
in-game,
metagaming
that character kicked a puppy.
Metagaming is rampant. It is difficult to control, I think, at a lot of tables, not just ours. But, like, yeah, I have made, as the character in Sapphire City, I've made a lot of, like, shitty actions, specifically only when one or two people could see or when nobody could see. And yet, it still bleeds into the next interaction where everyone's like, I don't know about that guy. Really? You're right. You don't know about that guy, you stupid motherfucker. You weren't there to see it. Like, let me play two-faced characters that have intricate motivations without you constantly assuming that you know who they are.
It's not that intricate of a motivation.
Sometimes it is.
Sometimes. 95% of the time when players at our table are like, suspicious,
mm-hmm.
It's not an intricate motivation. It's very straightforward.
Yep. No. Yeah. It varies, but it's fun popcorning back and forth. Kind of get to the original thing. But we've done three different worlds now, three different one shots, and have kind of continued to bounce around to them.
And still going. We've got two that are coming up.
Yep. We have session three of Last of Us coming eventually. Just like the message.
It's the same shit, and I'm gonna complain about you to
or
your
send
face.
A thumbs up.
I'm gonna complain to you to your face. Don't look at me like that's a challenge.
All right.
I'll gladly do it.
All right.
It's the same shit. And I was having this conversation with my dad the other day. When you send people TikToks,
oh,
I think it's customary.
I have 76 unopened TikToks.
Yeah, I know. Fuck you.
not from you, just like from
general,
everybody.
I'm aware.
Yeah.
But half the time, they're related to the fucking podcast.
Yeah, but like... It's not an official line of communication.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Would you rather me text them to you? Because you also don't answer my texts.
It's a little silly fun app.
You also don't answer my texts or my snaps.
I'm getting better. I'm improving. Hey, you're not the fucking queen of responding to things either. We have the same disorder.
Oh, okay. Shut the fuck up.
We do the same thing.
Shut the fuck
up. That's why I looked at you like that when I was like, yeah, I'm going to call you out.
No.
You do the same stuff.
I will say this, though. When I was having this conversation with my dad, when you send someone TikToks, you should respond to the TikToks. There's the little react button. You can like heart. You can like them.
That's what I do.
You can like do a little laugh emoji.
I like the ones that I've seen.
Yeah. My brother doesn't.
Oh, he just watches them?
He just watches them. And I'll be like, did you see that TikTok I sent you? And he'll be like, yeah, if you looked on your phone, you'd see I saw it. And it just says seen.
That's absolute deviant behavior.
Correct. Yeah. If someone sends you a message like that, fucking react to it. Which is why I know exactly when Robert is bullshitting and is like, oh yeah, I saw that TikTok you sent me. No, the fuck you didn't, because you didn't respond to it. And I didn't get acknowledgement.
Yep. Yep.
I'm right.
Sure, yeah, I believe you. I'm sure you are very right.
No, because you're making it sound like I'm crazy and I'm losing.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, we are planning, I guess, some other one-shots that are in the work before we start talking about, like, season three. One of our players, who is actually my first DM, so technically he's DM'd the longest out of everybody, he's writing a Star Wars one-shot that we'll hopefully get to play sometime when Madison's in town for longer than 30 minutes, and so is he. Conveniently, the 1 week that she's here the longest, he's on a two-week vacation.
Yeah, that shit's
in a
crazy
city that's small enough to qualify as a village.
That's also crazy.
Yep. Living his best life in the middle of nowhere. But anyways, he's writing a Star Wars one-shot that we'll be playing soon. That's fun. I'm also co-DMing for that one. And then I'm writing a campaign. Yeah, that's probably what it'll be. I don't see why it'd be anything else. This is going back to traditional fantasy, which we have not played in fuck ever.
Yeah.
It's not Madison's favorite setting, but...
I haven't said anything. I just opened a text message.
Everybody else is like,
guess what the new campaign is going to be? High fantasy with a focus on dragons. And then I didn't say anything. And everyone's like, oh, Madison's a hater. I didn't respond.
Everybody else reacted to it. And then you just didn't say anything.
I was at work. And there was no way that
I
could.
You had time in between. You respond to everything else.
There was no.
But not that.
There was no positive way. Anything that I said or reacted to was going to get a response in a negative way.
Because so you don't like high fantasy, and we all know that.
Correct. So what did you want me to say?
Just be happy that there's more D&D to play.
If I said that, it was going to sound passive aggressive, and you know it.
Yeah, because you don't like the setting.
Okay.
I'm writing a new fantasy setting, and there's a focus on dragons, which is kind of fun. I think this is probably going to be my most extensively written one. I thought that would have been Capes and Crooks, which, to an extent, I think they'll probably tie for, like, a background knowledge in lore. But, this is kind of, like, ground up, like, creating new pantheons and, an entirely new setting, new location. Not new races, because I don't really feel like going that far. Also, I like people being able to use the little player creator things that we use on our apps, on our phones. So trying to stick within enough of traditional high fantasy. But it's inspired by a couple of different things, some like touch points. If anybody listening has played Dark Souls or Elden Ring or any of the Souls, like the kind of like dark fantasy vibe, exploring an old, like kind of destroyed civilization. The lore is very complicated and hard to understand. I've been playing a lot of that kind of stuff recently, so there's that. My fiance also just finished the first Fourth Wing book and is now in the second and told me the entire plot A to Z. So the dragon part of it came from that. And then also everybody's just been like, so what do we do? When's the next high fantasy thing happening? One of our players was apparently writing a high fantasy campaign, and that just disappeared. So I've taken it upon myself to write one instead.
Well, it's funny you say that, because the campaign that I have been writing, which
is
my
like
first
technically
campaign,
though.
Okay, one of them fully is.
Like very technically.
No, it's not technically.
Not
it fully is. One of the campaign that I'm writing, it is a world, a universe that bounces between three different worlds. And two of those worlds qualify as high fantasy.
Nah.
There's fucking kings and queens and bull bullshit. Like, I don't know what else to tell you.
And okay, well, how would you say what the worlds are before we start calling them high fantasy?
The way that I'm writing them are not the way that they fucking exist in media.
Right, but in the way that the source content, the source material is, right, would you call them high fantasy?
No, I would not call Alice in Wonderland high fantasy off the rip, but the way
what about
I'm
Wizard of Oz? Would you call Wizard of Oz high fantasy?
No, Oz is a dystopia.
Would you call it a high fantasy setting?
No, but I'm using that
What about Peter Pan? Would you call Peter Pan high fantasy setting?
Those are the fucking touchstones, dipshit.
But would you call them high fantasy settings?
No. The way that I have
written
them...
So I don't think the world's high fantasy.
Okay, cool. You're not fucking writing it. You don't know what it's like.
The world is definitely not high fantasy.
Robert should eat shit every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
I think you're checking a little box in your head to feel better about yourself for writing a high fantasy campaign.
I'm not.
Definitely are. It's brownie points.
Motherfucker, there's a dragon. I don't know what else
cookie,
to tell you.
Bro.
The whole point is that there are three different worlds with completely different settings, universes, and aesthetics that all interweave with a really cool fucking plot thing, and I'm not going to bullshit and tell you all that shit because fuck you.
Because it's not real.
No!
It's fake.
I know that you're doing this to get a reaction. It's the same shit that people do on the playground in elementary school, and I don't know how to not fall for it every time, so I'm just throwing another marker.
Well, we plan it. I'm sure it will be, but for the sake of this conversation, I have a hard time believing that you would write anything that is based in high fantasy.
Why?
Because you hate playing in it.
Yeah.
So why would you write it?
Because I play at a table full of men, and the reason I don't like high fantasy is because most of the time, in my experiences growing up, which it has changed now, and there's more, like, marketable, like, high fantasy shit that involves women, but for, the pinnacle of high fantasy is, like, Lord of the Rings and Hobbit and that shit, and it doesn't pass the Bechdel test. Like, I prefer situations where women are able to have a little bit more grounding and just a little bit more focus. And all of the high fantasy that I was surrounded with growing up, that was not really an option. And it was just a lot of dragons. And it was also a lot of people who were, like, into that realm were very exclusionary. So there's reasons I don't like high fantasy, okay? I would love playing high fantasy with a table full of women. I would love to be a hot little elf chick and just fucking go crazy, you know?
A hot little elf chick is crazy.
I have a chronic issue of I have to play the hottest race in
manic
every
elf
game.
Dream girl.
Don't ever say that phrase again.
Manic elf dream girl. That's the character arc that you hit most frequently.
Not intentionally.
Yeah, I mean, not intentionally for sure, but like subconsciously, that shit comes through hard as fuck.
Just me trying to force pretty privilege into D&D.
Yeah, basically,
like, no,
nobody
my character's
can.
Hot. Let me do this.
No one can see you. Like, steer the mind, dog. What do you mean?
It's so funny. One of my characters that was like considered the most problematic by everyone and everyone hated, and like canonically written into her backstory, and it was set beforehand that she was an attractive woman, and everyone knew that it was me at the table playing it, so like that's not the vibe, you know. Don't laugh. You know what I mean.
I know, but it just when you say it out loud, it's like, yeah, they don't think I'm hot.
Well,
but I wanted to be.
Correct.
And I played like it, and they just didn't care.
And I played like it, and everyone's like, why does she keep getting away with all this shit? That doesn't make sense. And I was like, what you all don't realize is that she's hot, and that's why she can keep committing crimes over and over.
I want you to know, as the person writing the campaign, there was not a single moment in
my
head where I thought, yeah, she's getting away with it because she's pretty.
I'm aware, but in my head, that's why
she got
away
with
it,
because she had abilities or got a really good role.
Correct, but in my head.
Right.
I know that's not what you were thinking.
Is the person not writing the story?
I mean backstory. I mean the fact that she had a criminal record before stepping into the fucking inn.
Oh, right. No, that's valid, I guess.
It was literally her backstory was that she, like, was bouncing from, like, lover to lover.
Yeah. I mean, she was...
She didn't have an apartment. Like, she didn't have her own house because she didn't need to because she was always crashing with people because she was...
She was pretty until it didn't matter.
Correct.
You know?
And then they went, cool,
who are you?
And went, oh, word, that's who you are?
That didn't matter.
Great.
That doesn't matter at all. I just want to go home. I don't care if you're pretty. Send me back.
No.
Yeah, she tried to, like, force Stockholm Syndrome, being like, I'm hot and fun and chill. And they were like, nah, you're just crazy.
Okay, yes.
And, like, a bad person. Oh, no, I'm just, like, cool and pretty and, like, trying to preserve my life by using yours. What's wrong with that?
The shoulder movements you're doing.
What's wrong with that?
It's moments like this where I'm like, we need a camera.
Everyone's like, well, that's exactly what's wrong with it.
Listen.
I feel like the go-to response for her when anybody was, like, calling her out was just like, no.
Correct.
She was a walking, what murder? Like, it's, that's the energy the character had the whole time, but that was about themselves. Like, it was
literally
bordering,
like,
narcissism.
It was very, hey, you destroyed multiple worlds.
You're a garbage person. I don't know if I'd call myself garbage.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I've done, like, a lot of good things. Yeah. Like what?
It was the energy the whole time.
Everybody
was like, I hate this person.
And then everyone was also like, I hate them. I will lay down my life for them. I don't know why.
For the plot. For the plot, baby. For the hooks. We're in there like swimwear, but when it comes to dialogue, I hate her. Burner.
Not burner.
Yeah. Ditch her. Take the thing and run.
One thing you could say about her, did she get shit done?
Yeah, I think she made progress, but, like, in the form of problems for everybody else.
Sometimes progress means plowing down multiple...
Or all the time, for some people.
Like, okay, so let's say that you're in like a hedge maze, right? And your goal is to get out. Now, you could go through the maze, or you could you could cast Fireball and make a hole and get out of the maze that
way. Right, and then when you ignite the maze that's traditionally made out of something that burns, like hedges or trees or, I don't know, something flammable, what happens to everybody else that went in with you because the hook is dead center of the maze? Whoops, everybody's on fire now. A word, the loot that you all wanted burned? That sucks. I got what I needed.
But did we get out of the maze?
Oh, now the people that own the maze are mad at us? I don't know what that's about.
But did we get out of the maze?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep, the single goal was achieved at the price of literally everybody else's.
But we got out of the maze.
Right, right. See, this is the one-trackness, the what murder, like...
You can't keep saying what murder like that and then just move it. Like, you have to say the whole phrase in the accent.
I can't do the whole thing. I don't want to do the whole thing.
Anyway, what's coming up in the next season, Robert?
Hell yeah.
Well, actually, we're going to finish this season.
Yeah, we're going to finish this season.
We don't know when.
They'll get put out is either episodes, bonus episodes, whatever way. They'll get put out. You can listen to them. We're going to finish. We're going to redo and cap our first
Point Pleasant
actual play. And we're also going to do the same thing for Capes and Crooks with Smoke and Fetch. With everything I've written, I'm hoping that I can keep that to one episode that maybe gets chopped into two pieces. We've done a lot of work getting to this point, so I feel pretty confident in being able to tie that up rather quickly. Yeah. It just kind of depends. You know, we bounce a lot, so...
Players go rogue.
Plot doesn't always work out the way you want it to. Sometimes things get too easy or too hard, and you get stuck at a place. But anyways, we are going to finish out this season by capping off both of those actual plays. Obviously, this episode will come out before both of those. There's not a fucking shot that we're going to get those done before this. And then from there, we'll go into season three, probably with some time off in between, I would expect.
Yeah, we're going to have a hiatus. We're going to jump into season three. Season three will have some new exciting things. I'm not going to make any promises that we can't keep. But I think we're both comfortable saying that there's going to be some more actual plays.
Yeah.
That's probably going to be a direction that we steer towards a little bit, as much as we love doing this type of content a lot. It seems like...
You all fuck with actual plays more.
Really like our actual plays more than listen to us yap. And we are certified yappers. So hopefully...
We have degrees.
We do. I literally have a degree in it.
No, that's valid.
So you'll be seeing some more of us DMing and playing and all of that
plays,
fun stuff.
Also some creation content to throw behind our Patreon that we will eventually get off the ground.
Which it's currently going.
Yeah.
You should check it out. We'll have a lot of more. We'll have some new socials accounts for y'all to follow.
It'll be coming up soon when we have the time to sit down and do that. But we've, you guys have kind of already heard some of it with the like world creation and the world building stuff where we sit down and we make characters, we make worlds. We've now done like making new systems built in with new settings, like with Last of Us and with the Camp Half-Blood stuff. So we're kind of hoping to continue to do stuff like that and then not just obviously lock it behind Patreon, but like if you all actually want to play with it or use it for your own table, we'll get around to putting it in stone and then you all can fuck with it however you want to.
Yeah.
You know?
Get
behind that wall and it's all yours, dog.
Hopefully have some fun little like shorts and things that we've kind of talked about doing. I'm very excited for some of our actual plays, which are going to be a little bit more mini-series-esque, so it won't be one title that we just chunk into like version one, part two,
we're
part three.
Try and bring on some guests for those as well, so it's not just the two of us. Sometimes there's some difficulty just DMing for one person while also playing. As, you know, evidence in the second part of the episode that will never be released.
God, no. Maybe we'll put it's that difficult. Behind a like $60 Patreon wall. If you want to pay...
You give us $100, you can have the episode. It is yours to do what you want with.
If you give us $100, I will send you Robert's Social Security card.
Hey, dog. Maybe not that. Maybe not that one.
For $1,000, I'll give you our address.
In that creation vein, we've also talked about doing some segments on prop creation once we get a hold of some video stuff, which should hopefully accompany season 3. I make no promises with that. Every time we've done it, it's been cursed and hasn't worked. So
it's crazy how much it hasn't worked.
We're going to aim for it, but there's a chance that the first couple episodes don't have video.
There's always a chance.
Always a chance. But if they do... Prop creation.
And then you'll get to see our lovely faces as we...
Hell yeah.
And our dead eyes as we...
Oh yeah.
Drone on and record at the oddest possible hours.
We're also going to try and do some interviews with different people, some adults, some people that we work with, some people that we
are
like.
Related to.
Yeah, related to. Some people
one
that we
Robert's
play with.
One of Robert's suggestions for an interview is truly one of the funniest... I hope
it happens.
One of the funniest episodes ever. So
I can't wait.
Fingers crossed that one pans out.
We've also talked about trying to reach out to some folks on different social media platforms that are kind of in similar spaces or talk about similar things. Mm-hmm. I personally am a fan of finding just funny people that have nothing to do with the content and then bring them on.
That's what we talked about doing. We were like, what if we just found random adults that we liked?
Yeah.
And we're like, come on our
social media,
D&D
just
podcast.
Bring them on. I talked about like starting a segment where it's like teaching boomers how to play D&D.
Yeah, I hope that one pans out.
We'll
I
hopefully
hope
have some like interview
some
style
boomers.
Things up as well. And then to the name, it's in the fucking name, right? Like TTRPG stuff.
Branch out to other systems.
Yeah, and sitting down and kind of in the same vein of actual plays, playing in modules in other TTRPGs that are kind of neatly packaged, like Call of Cthulhu, Alien, Vampire the Masquerade,
you
Avatar.
You chose some of the most complicated ones as your first example.
NASA, the NASA TTRPG. There's any number of them, right? They're just kind of like packed.
Anything from Hunters Entertainment or Magpie Games. We have access to almost all of Magpie Games' library because I bought them in a bundle to help with the Palestine Children's Relief Fund.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Check out humblebundle.com.
Oh, that's so nice. That's our first. Wow, that feels like a first official, like.
Oh, I'm not sponsored.
No, like, and it's just kind of fun to be like, and I support this, you know?
Oh, like political thing? Oh, yeah,
you're so very careful to be like, no, Robert, don't say anything about that.
Oh, yeah, free Palestine. Yeah, no, I'm confident saying that
shit. I love that.
Full-chested. My bad for going rogue and saying politics when I
free Palestine.
Tell you not to.
Yeah, shit's crazy. We live in a
wild place.
And
go vote.
Go
vote. Vote in this election.
Please
vote.
Please vote. Even if it's in a direction where I, you know, even if it's a choice that I wouldn't want you to make, just vote. Just exercise the right.
Yeah.
please.
It took such a weird little
this,
like.
It, yeah, a weird off aside. We're not very political, but we keep up with politics. And we have a lot of opinions about politics.
Yeah.
But like, go fucking vote. Exercise the right, please. Yeah. Don't be one of those. I'm not going to call those people any particular words because that feels mean. Don't be a silly goose and not exercise your right because you don't like the options you have.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a stance by not making a stance. No, you just look silly.
Please vote.
You look like a silly goose that doesn't know how to walk to a building and press a button.
Please vote. They give you a cute little sticker and everything,
guys.
They
do. They give you a little sticker that says I vote. Then everybody gets to look at you and go, wow, they did something.
Yeah.
I'll
say, we're also coming from like two jobs that we have that are like, we have to be very careful about what we say.
Yeah.
So.
Please vote.
Please vote.
Vote in a direction.
The few things we are allowed to take a stance on and say confidently.
Yeah, please vote. Well, yeah, that's kind of a, here at the very end.
It's a wild cap to end it on.
3 minutes. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of new kinds of episodes for season 3, more of the same stuff we've been doing as well, where, you know, we kind of sit down and talk about things to do, the way that we like to do them, our brand of D&D, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And reach out to us if you have any questions, things you want to see on the podcast, questions you have.
Please reach out to us.
Like, I'm so serious. If you reach out to us, hell,
please
we might
talk to us.
We damn near will put you on the podcast. Please reach out.
We're so lonely. I feel like we're speaking into a vacuum. Please talk to us.
It really does feel like we come in here and we talk to each other. And
let us know that you know that we're real. You know?
Are you bots?
Not to get philosophical about it, but I need you all to reaffirm our existence in the space.
I think sometimes I'm like, they're bots. They're
dead.
Gotta
be.
Like, there's
gotta
no
be.
Way.
Zuckerberg's at it again. You know what I'm saying?
Let us know you're real. Please.
Let us know you exist.
Please. You can leave hate comments if you want.
Oh,
just
my
leave
God.
A comment.
Yeah, it could be the shitty comment. You could talk about anything you want to.
Yeah.
Talk your shit. Just let us know you're there.
You can call Robert names.
Woohoo. Hey, man. Wait a minute. Why me?
Because I don't want to say you can call me names.
Call Madison names.
No, you
call
can't
Madison
say
names.
That. Hate crime.
What? What do you mean?
You can't tell them to call the woman names.
Call the woman names.
No,
so what? Are you telling them to call the Mexican names?
No.
Well, that's what you said. Call Robert names.
Say the man.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you didn't say that. You said Robert. You said call Robert names.
Yeah, correct.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Coming after my, I don't know. Person, my being. I talk shit all the time, truly. You're not going to hurt my feelings, I promise. I probably hurt yours more than you'd hurt mine, so.
Every episode.
Bring it on.
To, like, slightly put in, like, and I'll fight a listener.
Anyway. I'll throw hands, dog. No, I won't. I'm a pacifist.
I was about to say, you are not the throwing hands type.
Absolutely
at
not.
At all.
Nope. Farthest thing from it.
You are the type to go, I hope you swing first. I'm waiting for the day.
I'll sue you. Truly, it's the like I hope you do, cause I'm so broke.
What money are you gonna take from me, Robert?
I'll take the van, I guess.
Not my minivan. Oh yeah, in other life news, I don't know if I've ever shared this on the podcast. So one day we were coming to record a podcast episode.
Whoa! Wait a minute!
And
wait a minute!
No! You brought my car into this.
Nah, dog, you ain't gotta do that.
And
nah, don't do that. Don't do that. I'll edit this shit out. You better not. Madison has a new car. Why? We'll never know. Thank you all for listening to one of the last episodes of season 2 of Table Talk.
I'll put the real reason on the Patreon.
Oh my God. We will see you all, hopefully see you all, within a few episodes. Most likely, you'll just be listening to us
but
again.
But we'll definitely see you on a Thursday.
On a Thursday. It'll never not be a Thursday. Thursdays work for you all for some reason, so.
Yeah. Alrighty, we'll see y'all eventually.
So
bye.
Third goodbye.
You didn't say bye. I was waiting for you to say
bye.
Bye.